Thank you for joining us on the next episode of this podcast series, The Benefits of Involving Third-Party Experts and Professionals in Your Divorce. So today I'm joined by Dr. Anne from My Freedom to Thrive, and she's going to tell us all about how she can help you during a divorce and separation. So welcome, Anne. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sophie, for inviting me. Looking forward to this conversation.
Good. Well, obviously, I know that we've spoken a couple of times now, and our team have, and we found it so interesting just to learn about how you can help our clients. So I thought it would be really beneficial to share that with everybody and just highlight the benefits of your services, essentially. So I think where we should probably start is just by you explaining what your job role is.
Okay, so I am a relationship psychologist and a clinical hypnotherapist, and I specialize in working with clients who are in difficult divorces. So I provide services usually referred to me via their lawyers. So they've been identified as being in a particularly contentious or potentially contentious divorce process, which requires a kind of more in-depth and a more expert type of service to help support that client go through what are really going to be quite a rigorous set of negotiations.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how long have you been in your current role?
Well, I've been working in psychology for 30 years. So I've worked with pretty much every type of client group. And over time, I found that I was getting more and more kind of client groups who had been in particularly difficult relationships or had had events that had happened to them during their life or their childhood that were creating difficulties in the relationships they were now forming as adults. Fast forward that into when they begin to exit the relationship, so going into a divorce situation, those same issues carry on into that setting. And it was about supporting those particular types of clients to be able to understand what was happening to them, where it came from, and how best to begin to get out of that relationship mold and loop that they were in.
And can you describe your average client base? I'm sure it varies a lot, but who do you find that comes to you more frequently?
Well, I do work with some men, but it's very limited. So I would say probably one in five are gentlemen, but generally speaking, it's women. They are on the whole, and again, I'm talking in generalizations here, they're generally degree educated. So if they're not degree educated, they're definitely in professional roles. So maybe they've been the founder of a business, or their relationship with their partner, they've been the founder of a business. So these are women who are generally very, very resilient and have a lot of skill set. But when it comes to the relationship issue, it's almost like there's a blind spot. So those skills and capacities that they have in their everyday life don't seem to transfer into that. They have children. They're very, very nice ladies who just really want to get the divorce done and dusted. And they tend to be very negotiative. They're very, you know, concerned about fairness. They're very concerned about their children being able to get through this process unharmed. So these are not people who are coming in who are kind of spitting flames. They're very, very nice people.
And just from that then, obviously it's very interesting, and we're in a time where it's very much being encouraged that everyone, you know, should speak out about their mental health problems. Why do you think about it in your particular role, why you think more women come to you rather than men? Have you kind of had a think about that and as to why?
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, unfortunately, men are historically and across the board, they don't present to services. So we have higher degrees of suicide amongst men. We have higher degrees of addictions amongst men. We have really somewhat problematic behaviors. So men, unfortunately, really do have this barrier to seeking help. And it's about how they perceive masculinity, how they perceive vulnerability. And I think, quite frankly, a lot of the time it takes quite a lot for a man to be able to articulate, look, there's really something wrong here. So I've got gentlemen that I work with who you know, the problematic party in the marriage has definitely been the woman. So they've been the person that's been victimized. And that can be really difficult for a man to realize, hey, I've been in this marriage and, you know, the power dynamic has been that I've been in the controlled and coerced party. It's much easier for women for us to be able to speak to our friends, and our friends say, hey, look, there's a problem here. I think you need help. For men, it's very, very difficult. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether you look at services of psychology or you look at medical services, just going to your GP to get medication for antidepressants or anxiolytics, men do not go. So unfortunately, by the time they do present, it's often, it can be in quite tragic circumstances. It's when they've literally kind of fallen off the cliff. So it's, you know, it's an important conversation that men really need to start to have, to be able to have amongst themselves, I think.
Okay. And I know you said a lot of your clients come from lawyers and solicitors and things. Has it been the men who have came from those sources as well? Or do you get kind of more direct referrals from men, or how has it been?
Yeah, strangely enough, the men come on their own. They find me through, they've read something online that I've written. And it's very interesting, because the way that they approach me is pretty much the same conversations and narratives that the women will come with me. So they'll say something like, am I the narcissist? Because they've read something about narcissism and personality disorder. And they're like, I'm really scared that in the relationship, I'm the one that's causing all the problems. So again, we've got some really, really nice gentlemen that come, and they are really concerned that the problem is them. What can they do to change it? Is there something that, you know, they've got this massive blind spot. So the women, I would say, come from the lawyers, and the men, it's if they just so happen to, you know, maybe at 3 a.m. they're looking online and my name pops up. So they take a kind of go, okay, I'll in this moment, I'll be brave enough and I'll reach out.
And maybe it's because what you said, the prone and have been learned to not talk about these things. So, you know, the less people they tell about it, and if they go directly to the then they might feel more comfortable, I'm not sure. But that was going to be my next question, actually, because I know you said that you very much seem to have kind of victims of domestic abuse and things that come to you. Have you also had people who have recognized the behaviors?
I don't say that the women are victims. I say they've been victimized. So it's not, you know, because the thing is, when you're a victim, it's often about not knowing that this is happening to you. When someone becomes aware, and I mean fully aware that that's happening, then they move into victim role. And victim role is when we kind of use our position, you know, to be able to gain secondary gain from other people. So, you know, this bad thing's happening to me in home, everybody must feel sorry for me. Generally, my clients really have got no idea when they come the quality that how bad the relationship quality is. They don't see it. So it's not about them being victims. They're victimized. They have no concept. In terms of the men, I have had men that have come to me and have said, you know, I'm really concerned about my behavior because I'm in a relationship where I'm doing things that I know are wrong and I don't like. And often, you know, that works quite challenging for me because one, you know, my natural sympathies would go for the person on the other side. However, I've got to say, okay, if you're in this position that you want to change and you want to examine your behaviors, then we'll do that work. Now, obviously there's a question of risk and whether the person in the relationship is of risk to their partner. So we have to have an agreement, you know, to what extent they're going to have access to this partner. So, you know, I wouldn't be working with someone who is saying to me, hey, I beat my wife up every Friday night and I want to work with you, but we're living together and it's likely on Friday night I'm going to do it again, because that's a completely different, you know, sphere. But if it's a man who comes to me and says, look, I've been in this relationship, I'm exiting this relationship, and I'm really concerned there were some real issues here in the previous one, and I don't want to do that again, and I think I'm the issue, then, you know, we'll do the work to start to unpick, why are you triggered in this way? Is there particular issues about your belief systems, about how men and women work in the relationship? And then, you know, that work can begin.
Okay. So how can you help our clients who are going through a divorce and separation?
So it really depends. I mean, I would strongly advise anybody going through divorce, go and seek some support, a divorce coach, a counsellor, because it's painful for everyone involved. Divorce is not a pleasant, you know, episode. It's not going to be something in your life you go, oh, let's get the photos out and remember the time we had the holiday that was the whole 2 years or 6 months of getting divorced. It's never going to happen. So if you can get somebody who's going to guide you through this change in identity, change in lifestyle, then it's going to make it a lot easier for you. My clients, unfortunately, are going to be on this journey a lot longer It's going to be a different type of dynamic, because what they're doing is they're negotiating with somebody who has a particular presentation, which is going to make it an awful lot more difficult for them. So when I work with these clients, it's very much about getting them calm, educating them about what's happening, and then providing, you know, a package of support that will take them through the journey, because they're going to need that regular kind of contact and reality check about actually what's happening. And quite frankly, to prepare them for going forward to a new healthy relationship. Because what I want at the end of it is, if they choose to go out and find a new partner, that they don't end up in the same place that they were in this particular relationship.
Okay, and do you tend to just work with one party or both parties? How does it work?
It will always be one party in my case, and that's because the type of relationship that they've got, the dynamic that's there, is going to be very problematic. There's usually a degree of coercion and control, so it's contraindicated to have the two parties involved. So for example, they may go to mediation together, and you know, that can be quite problematic, because maybe the lady doesn't know, or the man doesn't know at this time, that there's a really unhealthy power dynamic. So the mediator isn't in a position to be able to make that judgment. They've got some pretty good assessments now to filter those out. But when I'm working with, you know, after that or during the whole divorce process, is very much about helping my clients really change their perspective about what's going on, so that they can then thrive after this process, and they can get through it, and they can start to build themselves up. So if I have the two parties together and I'm building one party up and the other party's trying to knock them down, that's just never going to work.
Okay, so obviously I was having a little look on your website, and I have a few times now to see all your different programs. So can you give us a little overview of all the different kind of packages that you offer?
So I have, the first one is the FLY program, and that's a rapid intervention. So that is really about when a lady is in the midst of a particularly difficult divorce. You know, there's a point when they really don't know what's happening. It's to kind of get them on an even playing field as quickly as possible. So it's quite intense, and it's specifically designed that way because often at that point they're very gaslit, which means they've lost a sense of reality about what the relationship is. So I really have to work quite intensively with them to open their mind up to the fact that what's happening is not healthy. And it's not just not healthy in a little bit, it's very not healthy. And that takes quite a lot of energy, time, and you know, attention on my part. That's then followed up with, you know, like a capsule of care after it. So the relationship then spreads out over the journey. That's kind of for people that when the lawyers are telling me, look, this is really bad. And the lawyers will tell me, look, I'm sending you a client, and they'll tell you the details of the case, but this is, you know, the extreme. If it's more of someone who isn't quite ready for that degree of intensity, then I offer, you know, therapy packages. So it's at a much, you know, more gradual pace, but essentially it's a lot of the same content, but it doesn't need to have the quicker, you know, turnaround. The last thing is I also can work with the lawyer, the client's lawyer. So it works as a three-way team, that if the lawyer needs information that helps them taking the case forward, then, you know, I can help the lawyer gather that information. And sometimes, because the client is so over aroused, they can't even hear what their lawyer's saying. So their lawyer then tells me, this is the strategy, this is what we're doing. And then I've got a different type of context. It's a bit calmer. They're not quite as aroused with me. So we can go over again, which means that the, you know, if they have any questions, I can kind of act as a go-between. Because these clients, when someone's in this type of divorce, they're very scared. And when you're scared, it's very hard to be able to take in information. It's just part and parcel of it. So when I'm doing this three-way role, it means that, you know, I can help the client understand what's happening when they're feeling calm. And it's literally a different relationship we have. So it kind of acts to sort of soften, you know, because I, you know, when you see my clients, will say when they see their the email from their lawyer, you know, immediately their heart is they're in shock. They don't want to open the email because they have no idea what horrible things come in their way. So you know, they then go, I've got a million questions I want to ask my lawyer, but I'm actually too embarrassed to ask them because I don't even know if these are stupid questions. So they ask me and then I ask the lawyer, and that makes them, you know, reassured that, okay, I've got somebody who can sometimes just act as a buffer to translate a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't really heard about that dynamic before, but it sounds really interesting because I think a lot of the time, especially when, you know, you've got all of these third parties involved, there can be crossed wires, you know, someone knows something and then they think they've passed the information on, and, you know, it makes a lot more sense for everyone to just sit down together and, you know, the information to pass quite easily between different parties. You know, that's great.
I mean, obviously there's limitations. So the clinical information doesn't necessarily go to the lawyer. But for example, I had one lawyer that we were working with, a similar client, and the information the client told me about, you know, things that were happening in the house that she thought were perfectly normal, I was able to say, okay, look, that needs to go back to your lawyer because that's grounds for a protection order. That's a non-molestation order. You've got evidence there that can go into that. But she didn't know that. And she thought it was so normal that it never even entered her head to speak to the lawyer. So how the process works is I speak to the lawyer, I speak to the client, and we agree that we give consent for information to pass. Then anything I share, I always check with the client first. This is what I'm going to share. You check it. If there's anything you don't want in this, we take it out in terms of reports or feedback. And it because I come from the health service, so multidisciplinary teams have been always how I've worked. And it means that the professionals know where the client's at as best as possible. And that means they can do the best job. Often my clients think that lawyers are therapists, so they cross wires about who can do what. I have to be very clear that I don't know what it is to be a lawyer. I don't have that information. So the lawyer needs to answer those questions, but it also means that the clients know that, you know, the lawyer isn't going to be able to give them therapeutic interventions.
So when is the best time for you to get involved in the divorce process?
So about a year ago, I started presenting to lawyers about these particular types of divorces. And at that point, it was pretty much about 2 years into the process that they were, you know, when I started getting clients, they were already pretty battle scarred by the negotiations. But because I was explaining, look, there's this particular type of presentation, the lawyers started to realize, okay, yeah, we do have these clients on our books and we've had them for quite a while. Since then, the timelines got a lot shorter. So because the lawyers kind of know, they can identify, oh, this is potentially one of these cases, I'll send this client, I'll suggest they speak to Dr. Anne. It's got a lot less. And the quicker the lawyers can identify, this is what we're dealing with, the better. So, you know, unfortunately, at the beginning of these negotiations, it can literally seem that you've just got a fairly straightforward divorce. It's going to be no problems. You know, the negotiation is going to go bim, bam, bom, and no problem. However, because of the psychology of one of the parties within the negotiations, that's not going to happen. So if your lawyer's seeing that after 6 months, a year, then you're not going in the straight line that really would happen in your average divorce, then that's when, you know, I really suggest that the clients come to me, because I would say in all of the clients that have been sent to me, it's always been, you know, there's been a background of coercion, control. There's been some very negative dark power dynamic in the relationship. And the divorce is merely a representation of that. So, you know, if anybody's listening, if any clients are listening, if they have found that it's very, very difficult to negotiate with their partner in their marriage to get any sort of decision made or move forward, and that has been pretty much the experience of their marriage, then it's something they need to say to their lawyer very, very early on, because it's not normal. And if they're left in a holding pattern, because that's what their partner will do, evade and avoid, they could be sitting with nothing on the table after 2-3 years. So, you know, for lawyers listening, send me as soon as possible, as soon as you think this isn't quite what I would be expecting. And for clients, if you're going past the 6 months and definitely past the 12 months, then reach out.
Great. Thank you very much. So we'll just finish off then with three questions that I ask everyone on the podcast. So the first one is, what do you love about your job?
I love seeing my clients go to a point where they understand what freedom means and they grow into it. Now, it's not a straightforward process, and at times it's got some serious bumps, and I have to be there to hold their hand as things are quite dramatically transformed in how they understand their world. However, seeing them come out the other side when they understand what they're looking for in terms of their future life, when they understand how to minimize the impact of this difficult person who, let's be honest, may be the father or mother of their children, so they still have to maintain some degree of contact with, but that they're still able to thrive in their life. That's what makes it worth it. I suppose in some ways what I love is when they don't need me anymore.
And why do you think it's important for clients going through a divorce or separation to use your service?
So, as I said before, I think everybody, should get help. And even if it's a fairly straightforward divorce, it's very painful breaking, an identity of a marriage, the loss of the life that you were going to have, that you went in. No one gets married. We talk about people who are gold diggers, who are manipulative, malevolent, but really the vast majority of people go in with an open heart, hoping to have a fairy tale, to have a happy home, to have a life partner, to have a team member. And when that doesn't happen, that's incredibly painful. So for those people, they need support. For my clients, it's about them recognizing they have the right to ask for help, because they've been told for a very long time that they're not allowed to have help. And part of the process of becoming someone who really does value themselves, who does see themselves as worthy, is acknowledging, hey, I can ask for guidance. I have the right to do that. So it can often be the first step in them starting to think about their own needs.
Great. And the final one is, one piece of advice for someone going through a divorce or separation.
Start planning from the beginning how you want your life to be at the other side. Get a really good picture of it, because it's going to be the thing that's going to get you up every morning when the lawyer's email comes, when the partner isn't being great, when work is terrible, when you feel completely overwhelmed and thinking, hey, the kids don't do what I say, I've got all this stuff. Have that vision of where you're going to, because in the most difficult moments, that's going to be, the thing that gets you through it. And every step you take towards it, you're going to be able to sound that little bit closer, until one day you wake up and, hey, there you are.
Great. Thank you so much. And that was really interesting. And I think it's such an important part and something I would recommend to all of my clients, to get some support during their divorce and separation. Because like I said, it's one of the most difficult things you can go through. And I think, building your support network and just having those people there to turn to for everything is just so important, and it will really help you through. So thank you for joining us today. And if you would like to contact Anne, then we will leave her details below for you to be able to do that. But thank you very much, and we'll see you next time.